what can we do to better this community, to build and better this church, to pour into a generation that's coming behind us so that they won't be taken out? What can we do? Give me an idea.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campsie, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campsie, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this opportunity once again to hear your word. Meet us in the text. Tell of the truth that every hearer's heart might hear and heed what you have to say. Give us illumination and understanding, that we might practice the principles, receive the prophet, give you the praise. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. The people of God said amen.
Amen.
God bless you. We want to turn your Bibles to St. John chapter 12. And I want to commence reading at verse 12. St. John chapter 12, beginning at verse 12, recorded are these words. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevailed nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. When we look at this word, my brothers and sisters, it's clearly talking about Palm Sunday as we know it. And in these verses I've read, I want to talk about the place, the people, and the purpose of Palm Sunday. The place, the people, and the purpose of Palm Sunday. We hear about Palm Sunday and we share in the Palm Sunday experience, and we celebrate Palm Sunday all over the world the week before Easter or Resurrection Sunday as we know it. But there's so much more to Palm Sunday than many folk realize. It was not just the cutting of palm branches and meeting Jesus and throwing them before his feet as to receive her king. But there is a message of hope, not only for the people of Israel, but for every person who desires to be in a right relationship with God. There are some things about the Palm Sunday experience. We're not going to get it all in at this one service. And so if you don't get the rest of it, you do need to get CD or something so you can hear the rest of it for yourself, because it's just a little more in depth than I could rush and force into one message. Because I just want to deal, first of all, with the place. When we begin to look at John chapter 12, verse 12, one of the things that we'll note is that it begins the account of the final week of Jesus on planet Earth, and it culminates in his death at the end of the week, and then his resurrection at the beginning of the next week. The events of this week actually begin on Saturday evening, where the Last Supper took place in Bethany, about 2 miles southeast of Jerusalem. And following the dinner on Saturday, Jesus makes his way to the city of Jerusalem for his triumphal entry. This was a time when Israel would be gathered together, all of Israel, to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover. It is suggested that some 500 plus 1,000 people were at Jerusalem for the Passover. As a matter of fact, every male adult within 25 miles of Jerusalem was required to be at the Passover and this week of celebration. And so it is important to understand how in this setting, Jesus knew what he was to do. Jesus understood where he was to do it, because there are some things, again, about this Palm Sunday experience that many of us glaze over and don't really grasp the meaning of. This was no Palm Sunday, no ordinary day. For on this day, Palm Sunday, Jesus would change the course of history and life for many in that time and even today. One of the things, if you'll allow me to give you a brief outline of this morning's message, when we talk first about the place, Jerusalem. Let's go back to the 12th verse, and it tells you that on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Jesus came to Jerusalem, the beloved city of David. According to Psalm 87 and 3, Jerusalem, it is mentioned as the city of God. In the book of Revelation, we know it to be the city of gold, where the streets are paved with gold. Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 3 says Jerusalem is known as the city of truth. In Psalm 42 and 8, The psalmist wrote, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. There is no other city, there is no other place on planet earth that God esteems like Jerusalem. So we need to understand that God favors Jerusalem. And Jesus came to Jerusalem because it was important, because it was the designated place of God. It was the place of prophecy. And Jesus did always those things which fulfilled Scripture. And certainly, again, when we look at this word and when we understand it, no wonder the writer, Dr. Isaac Watts, talked about this place. And even as we marched in battle and as we march, notice the words he uses. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. And so when you begin to understand and look again at how God has lifted up and he has esteemed Jerusalem, there are just some things about it. The question is, why is this city so special? Why is Jerusalem so special? And why did God set his affection upon the city of Zion, which is sweet Jerusalem? Well, first of all, it would be the place where he would send his only begotten son to die. Jerusalem was the place picked out for God's ultimate plan of redemption for man. Jerusalem was the place that God set his focus and affections on. That would be the place that his only begotten, the best of what he had, would come and sacrifice his life in this city called Jerusalem. But I want you to notice something else. When you begin to look at this and understand this, the name Jerusalem means city of peace. City of peace. When one would find it hard in today's time to think that this was called a city of peace where there's so much unrest and so much discord and so much fighting going on in this city of peace. However, the reason Jerusalem is called the city of peace in the Bible is because it is the place where God reconciled man to himself. It's not the peace as in this worldly sense of peace. It is the peace in the place where man finds his redemption with God. It is the place where God reconciles, calls man's, rights his wrongs in the city of Jerusalem. Jesus dies, but as he dies, he makes men right who believe in him with the Father, thus reconciling men unto him. And so therefore, for that reason, when paradise was lost here at Calvary on the cross, it's regained. And so Jerusalem is the place where this takes place. But when we begin to look at this and understand how all of this works together, how often have we heard the question, have you made peace with God? And it's talking about this same peace that Jerusalem is known for. It's talking about man getting right, coming into a right relationship and fellowship with God. When you talk about a man who does not know God is a man who has no real peace. It's a man who does not know on the inside what the rest of God is like. And so it is only through Jesus Christ that we are introduced to the Father, we are brought to the Father, and all of this began at Calvary on Jesus' cross, as he and only he could do. And so this experience that Palm Sunday initiates climaxes in Jesus laying down his life in such a way that God honors his sacrifice and substitutes our life in place of his, which gives to us the privilege, the power, and the possession of heirship with Jesus Christ. In other words, if Jesus wouldn't have done it, we wouldn't be here. And so it's the beginning, it's the parade of what's coming that this Palm Sunday experience is like. The Palm Sunday experience, while they're shouting Hosanna, which means save us, is not the culminating experience, it's just the parade. Calvary comes later when they shout, not save us, but crucify him. Crucify him. And folk got all excited about the king coming because Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on a colt, on a baby donkey, young donkey, male donkey, never been ridden before. He didn't come on a white stallion because the ass represented peace, humility, humbleness. The horse represented war. He didn't come as a war-raging king, but rather as an humble king. And so Israel didn't even like his entry. It was not prominent enough. It did not have enough pomp and circumstance. It was not fitting of the king who would come in and in their minds overthrow the Roman government who had them underneath the thumb and thought that Jesus would turn everything around in the physical and natural realm. That was not the place that was most important first. He started with the spiritual realm, which they could not recognize, which is why when they started on Sunday and they shouted on Friday, they missed the whole message of his coming. And thus Israel did not receive, but rather rejected her king. So my brothers and sisters, again, Palm Sunday represented the parade. Somebody say parade.
Parade.
I'm reminded of a story told about a young boy back in the 1800s who had just turned 12 years old and he had never been to a circus before, and he, for his birthday wish, asked his father, could he go to the circus? For at school, he had seen a poster advertising a circus coming to town next Saturday. So as he looked into his father's eye, his father knew that he wanted to go to this. They were poor, they didn't have much. But the father said, if you get up early that morning and do all of your chores, I'll see to it that you have enough money to go to the circus. And so that next Saturday morning came. The boy jumped up and he did all of his chores quickly, fast, and efficiently. Then he held his hand out to his father and said, Father, I finished all my chores. And the father reached into his overalls and pulled out a $1 bill and gave it to that boy. Now, when the boy received that $1 bill, he looked at it because it was the most money he had ever possessed in his entire life. And it was his. And he thanked his father and he dashed on after his father had cautioned him to be careful and to enjoy himself. His feet barely touched the ground. He was running so excited. As he got closer to town, he saw lines forming on each side of the road. And being excited, being a child, he pushed his way and made his way to the front of the line. And with great amazement, he saw the caged animals growling and snoring as they passed by. He saw the midgets doing acrobatic performances in the street as they passed by. He saw the rhythm section of the band beating their drums and the shiny horns blowing their tunes. He saw flag twirlers. He saw all of these things, and with great amazement, he had never seen anything like that before. And then bringing up the rear, he saw the clowns with the big floppy shoes and the big baggy pants and the colorful face and the big red nose. And when the last clown passed by, he ran and he touched him, and he reached in his pocket and gave him a dollar and turned around and ran on back home. And he was excited. But what had just happened? He didn't see the circus. He just saw the parade. But because he really didn't know what he was looking for, he thought that was all it was. And he saw the performers who would be in the circus, but he didn't really see them performing. And all I'm trying to tell you is the folk on Palm Sunday saw the parade. Oh, y'all not hearing me here. But they missed the message of what Jesus brought in terms of hope. And on Friday, they shouted, "Crucify him," before they got to really see him work his show. So many people miss their blessings because they get excited about the parade rather than the performance. I wish I had a helping hand. And so, my brothers and my sisters, when we begin to look at this word and understand it, how oftentimes we miss our blessings. As Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, he knew he was there for one reason and one reason only: a mission of mercy. Again, Jerusalem is the place from where Jesus will rule during the millennial kingdom. Jerusalem. His throne will be established there, according to Acts 2 and 30. God had sworn with an oath to him that he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Psalm 132 and 13 and 14 says, "For the Lord had chosen Zion. He had desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it." Talking about Jerusalem. Somebody say Jerusalem. Zechariah chapter 6 verse 13 says, "Even he shall build the temple, the Lord, and he shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both." God sent his son to Jerusalem 2,000 years ago to die on a cross for you and for me, that he might redeem us, to make us everything God wanted us to be. Revelation 21 and 3 says, "And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Where? In Jerusalem. And so when we are admonished to pray for Jerusalem, all of the unrest that's going over there right now, God has a story for Jerusalem. And all of the enemies, and I want you to know this now, that are enemies of Jerusalem are enemies of God. When you go to bed at night, when you pray for all those you love and for all of the things you desire, may I submit to you that you include Jerusalem? Because when you learn to love what God loves, God gives you not only affection for that, but he gives you an inspiration and a reality of that that shall come to pass in that place in your own experience. Listen, I may not have been in the Jerusalem 2,000 years past, but I am expecting to be in the new Jerusalem. And I think it's important for me to get my mind ready for the new Jerusalem. I think it's important for the people of God to understand why God himself loved this wonderful, this beautiful city, this place of habitation that he has desired, that he has claimed as his own, that he has set aside as the place of his habitation forever. The New Jerusalem is going to be the place for every believer. Originally, it was for the Jews. And I'm going to talk about the people in the next portion of this. And you're going to understand that even though the Jews rejected him, and I don't want to say thank God they rejected him, but thank God. Y'all don't hear me here. I got an opportunity because they didn't want what they had. And you've got an opportunity because they didn't want what they had. But there are some Jews who recognize that he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace. He is the Shalom. He is the lily in the valley. He is the rock. There are some Jews who know he really is the Messiah, the true Son of God. There are some Jews who know he is the answer, the bright and the morning star. There are some Jews who know Jesus is the answer and Jesus is the way. There are some Jews, and I'm glad with the Jews will be John shouting glory, 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 glory to the Lamb of God. Thank God for Jerusalem. Give God a hand of praise today. The doors of the church are open. How we thank God for Jerusalem.
For my way.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. You can receive today's message by sending $5 for cassette, $8 for CD, and $15 for DVD to 911 Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806, or call area code 225-774-8040, leaving your name, address, and order. Or you can purchase today's message at Stars Beauty Salon, 525 16th Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, on Tuesday and Wednesday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., Thursday and Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. May God richly bless you is our prayer.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Revival, revival, revival. That's right, Louisiana, Mississippi, and all points in between. It's now time for the 48th annual Citywide Area Interdenominational Revival beginning Monday, April 21st through Thursday, April 24th, 2014. The Citywide Interdenominational Chairman, Reverend Willie Dunkley, Sr., pastor of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, and co-chairman, Reverend Joseph Martin of the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church, cordially invite you to be a part of the 48th annual Interdenominational Revival, where the theme is Reviving Believers and Converting Sinners. Revival starts Monday, April 21st, with a musical starting at 6 o'clock p.m. at the Mount Zion Baptist Church, 1116th Street, where the host pastor is the Reverend Roger Green. On Tuesday, April 22nd through the 24th, 2014, noonday services begin promptly at 11:45 a.m. at the Pilgrim Missionary Baptist Church, 410 Solomon Street, where the host pastor is the Reverend Tom Hamilton. Your noonday evangelist is none other than Reverend Greg L. Oliver, senior pastor of the True Vine Baptist Church of Monroe, Louisiana.
Only another church. Is he the one? Or should I try to find me another pastor? And they came to Jesus and said, John is in jail and he wants to know, are you the one? Or should he look for another? Jesus said to them, go tell John that the blind men have received their sight. Go tell John that the lame have begun to walk.
Evening services begin Tuesday, April 22nd through the 24th, 2014 at 6:45 p.m. at the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church, where the host pastor is the Reverend Roger Green. That's 11th 16th Street. Your evening evangelist is none other than Reverend Bertrand M. Bailey, Jr., senior pastor of the New Greenwood Baptist Church and of Greenwood, Louisiana, at the Greater Bible Baptist Church of Mount